Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
A little past high noon here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. It's a Bruins Thursday. We'll talk to the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, coming up at 1 o'clock. How's Alex Van Pelt earlier today? We read you some of those comments. Taken out of context.
Gerard
Mayo
right?
was. Yeah.
I don't think so. That was also like Van Pelt saying, you know, the whole Marcus Jones thing was like no.
Oh, I knew that.
I knew it.
I knew all about that.
You when said in reality, I didn't.
Yeah, in reality, that's what Mayo just said. You said it, I didn't. Sounds like there's nothing out of context there.
No.
Right. In real time, you said, oh, it was the first I'd heard of it
right.
when Marcus Jones reached out to me. And now it's like I knew all along that got taken out of context.
He's just doing the best he can to like put out the fires. He started one. Like the Marcus Jones thing was one that he started. He's just being honest, but he kind of started that. And then the other ones.
This one's not his fault.
No, not at all. And he's just trying to downplay everything. But like, how do you think Van Pelt really feels about the Crafts and Mayo both publicly calling him out? I think he's Van Pelt has more NFL experience, more coaching experience than just about anybody else on the staff. And I think he's just trying to like maneuver it and like get through it.
No, so it's a look, it's a good point by Rich Keefe. You can check out Keefe's top 10 movie and TV show list of 2024. Those will be up on the Odyssey app shortly. Get the Odyssey app on your phone. Take it with you wherever you go. I mean, we can get those out on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. I want to get to DeMarcus Covington. Some very questionable comments from him. But just reading through the full Alex Van Pelt transcript here. Reese tweeted some of this out. You heard right there again, they're communicative and it's taken out of context and blah, blah, blah. He was very strange about Drake May sneaking the football.
Yeah. A little dodgy.
Yeah. Phil Perry kind of interpreted it as just that mixed messaging. And it's unclear if Mayo's not communicating the message or if Alex Van Pelt is factoring in their record. Like, for instance, he was asked about design runs and if it would change if the record was different. He said, absolutely. There's no question. It's 3rd and 2 and we're trying to get a playoff spot. We're going to use every means necessary to get those plays. But he also mentioned keeping Drake May healthy. So maybe some of that is Alex Van Pelt doing it on his own.
Maybe it is Van Pelt.
The more you read through this thing, because it was like three or four consecutive questions.
It doesn't let Mayo off the hook.
It does not. I agree with you on that.
Because Mayo can just go down and be like, hey, run this.
My view was, I agree with you 100%. It doesn't let Mayo off the hook, but my view was maybe this was an organizational philosophy where, hey, we're not going to get the kid hurt in year one. We're not doing anything anyway. It sounds like he has a little more wiggle room than I thought. So it does not let Mayo off the hook, but Van Pelt may also deserve more blame than I was giving him on, say, Sunday night.
Yeah, I think Van Pelt probably sees the record of the team and does want to protect the quarterback. I mean, he made that pretty clear. You know, these final three games is about protecting the quarterback. I'm like, or is it about putting him in spots to succeed and, you know, learning stuff and kind of, you know, getting as much momentum as possible and like ending the season on a high note for him individually? Like, he played so well against the Colts. Like, if you have another couple of games like that, I think you'd feel better. I mean, you're still going to have a horrible record, but you'd feel better going into the offseason. But he's like, no, we just want to make sure he's safe.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Let's just get him through the year, which, as we said earlier, I didn't realize Arcan had this take yesterday. I don't agree with it, but if it really is all about protecting him, well, then sit the kid down.
It's the easiest way to protect him.
If that's really what it's all about, sit him down.
Right.
I wouldn't do that, but if we're holding Alex Van Pelt accountable or the Patriots, that's their view on it.
Uh-huh.
That's how you do it. Just to follow through on this, too, I didn't read the full clip earlier or the full quote earlier. He was asked about the Crafts and the clip on CBS, Jonathan and Robert questioning the play calling. He says, my door is always open. Obviously, the Crafts, I answer to those guys.
Right.
So if they ever want to come down and talk, my door is open. I have great conversations with Robert over the course of the year, Mr. Kraft. And it's been positive, always willing and always available. So if they want to talk to me, I'm open to talking to them, but they have not talked to me about that.
I think that's a really bad sign.
That's worse than them airing him out on national TV.
Yeah.
Airing him out on national TV, maybe they knew they were going to be on camera, maybe not. They certainly knew moments after that they were on TV. To not walk downstairs. You're in Arizona. To not walk downstairs or see him on the team flight or at worst on Monday at the facility, go, Alex, this has ballooned into something that we didn't mean it to be. It got away from us. We believe in you there, guy. Even if they're lying to him.
You can lie to him.
Walk downstairs and try to patch it up. they have he has not heard from either one.
Be like, hey, we were frustrated about it. We know, we know your offensive line's not great. Like, you could easily spin it in another way, and whether or not they believe it or whether or not Alex Van Pelt really believes the words that you're saying, that, you know, who knows? But to not say anything, and I don't blame Van Pelt for this. I don't think Van Pelt is in a position where he goes to the owner's office and is like, hey, I heard you guys talking crap about me. He can't do that.
No.
So, yeah, your offense is one of the worst in the league. But the fact that the Crafts, that came out there, it's been several days, and they haven't run it by him, like, hey, let's just clear the air real quick. That, to me, means like they've already made up their mind.
Yeah.
That he's gone, so what's the point of patching it up?
We kind of already thought that, and it helps. And maybe Mayo knows that. Maybe Mayo knows how they felt, and we just caught it on national TV. But Mayo gets debriefed by them every week. Maybe Mayo's been sowing the seeds that it's Van Pelt's fault all along. Maybe that's why. Maybe the reason they think the play calling's so sucky is because they meet with Mayo every Monday, and Mayo's been throwing him under the bus. And Mayo knows, yeah, I can see, you said it, I didn't. And throwing Van Pelt under the bus after the Cardinals game because he knows how ownership feels. They're out on Van Pelt.
Yeah.
They haven't met with him since that comment. And Van Pelt confirmed today. He's had other good conversations with Robert. Good relationship
sure,
with
good
Robert.
Stuff.
So where have they been this week? Nowhere.
Yeah, that's not good.
Meanwhile, DeMarcus Covington, I believe, is part of our coordinator series tomorrow.
All right.
I think. Now, I've predicted these things in the past, and it hasn't always gone the way that I thought it was supposed to. I think it's pretty clear. Van Pelt, Covington, Springer. Van Pelt, Covington, Springer. Van Pelt, Covington,
it's
Springer.
Fluid.
Every other week. I thought it was very clear.
There was one week we just didn't have anybody for some reason.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was supposed to be Tuesdays, and now it's Fridays, and then there was a week we didn't have it. And so, you know, I don't always know.
Tune in to find out.
But I think we're supposed to get DeMarcus Covington tomorrow on Patriots Friday.
Good.
Two good comments from him, Keith. Ready for these?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because the Van Pelt stuff is very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But this is just becoming an even bigger mess by the day. Asked about defensive fundamentals. Because they don't exactly tackle.
They had some poor angles last
week.
Yeah,
bad angles, bad tackling. Yeah. So he's asked about fundamentals. He says, we work on those every day.
They do?
So we'll continue to work on it.
Good.
And I'm proud of the way the guys show up to work every day. And you guys should be proud of those guys.
What?
The way they show up to work every day. They're trying to play out there and play hard and improve and finish. So you got, meaning the media?
What?
You made your daddy proud.
You're going to be so proud.
Proud?
Proud. Proud.
How many LeBarons are there, Freddie? So
he's...
We should be proud of the millionaires showing up to play football?
Yeah, he's proud of their crappy defensive play, and we should be too.
Well, he's also the one who was like, remember the call and response? He's like, what do we say?
What do we always say?
Play together. Like, I don't know, dude. We're not in the meetings with you.
We don't even know who you are. So
I'll tell you right now, I'm not proud.
I'm not either.
I'm not proud of the 3-11 team.
Is it possible if we want to give Covington the benefit of the doubt, he's trying to channel some of Brian Callahan the other day?
No. Brian Callahan was cussing. Brian Callahan was telling people to shove stuff up their bum-bums. So Callahan was a lot better than, like, I'm proud and you should be proud.
Right.
I should be proud.
Proud?
That one of the worst defenses in the league shows up.
Yeah.
That's the base. That's the bar now.
That's his bar.
They're there.
Yeah.
We had 11 guys on the field for every play.
We work on the fundamentals every day. I mean, they haven't learned anything.
These
they don't do anything with it. But
practice.
We work on it.
They play.
You should be proud. I'm proud. You should be proud.
They got on the plane. Went all the way to Arizona. They don't live in Arizona. These guys had to pack a bag. Actually, that's not true. They probably packed a bag for them. They had to show up on time to the game.
Proud.
Yeah.
I'm real proud of this
that's
team.
Us. More from Covington. This one might be even better.
Maybe enough's enough.
This might be even better. Okay. No, I'd say enough's enough with that guy at his defense. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Don't need him to make it all the way to, you know, the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Covington was asked to boil down the defense's issues since they've historically been a top 10 unit. Fair. Under Bill, they were typically a top 10 unit.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Some felt they'd be a top 5 unit this year. It's a regrettable take.
That one stinks.
Yeah, I would say every year is different. Every defense is different.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I look at it. I wouldn't read too much into it. For us, we're trying to do the best we can every week. As a coaching staff, players, those guys are working hard and trying to do what we ask them to do. So I look at every year being different. Like I said, last year and previous years, every year is different. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, this one's worse.
Yeah.
They're different, all right.
Someone pressed him, I'm not sure the reporter, on I wouldn't read too much into it. It's like, oh, you were top 10 for 20 years.
Yeah.
And now you're a terrible defense, but you wouldn't read into that. He says, I look at what we do week to week, and that's how I look at it. Oh. I look at week to week, how we can win the game.
You've been bad week to week.
And so that's kind of how I look at it.
So since 2021.
Trying to get a W, that's how I look. He keeps saying that's how I look at it. I'm trying to get a W. That's the most important thing to me winning. So that is a just word salad of I wouldn't look at it. Don't read too much because he doesn't know how to say anything other than, yeah, my defense sucks. He doesn't know how to answer
it. He doesn't really know what he's doing. So in 2021, they had points allowed.
Yep.
Second best defense in 2021.
Yeah.
Then in 2022, 11th. Last year, 15th.
Okay.
This year, 23rd.
Okay. Bad trend in his defense.
It's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Very much so. And they also added to the team this year one of the five best corners in the league. And they've still taken a massive step back. For anybody that wants to be like, oh, Bentley's out, or, you know, pick another guy that's missed time. It's like, all right, they only had Gonzalez for 3.5 games last year. They've had him all season, and he's been fantastic. And they have regressed to this point.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. The idea, they have more personnel on defense this year, I think, than they did a year ago. Better personnel, rather.
Yeah.
Barmore came back midway through the year. You did have all of Barmore last year.
Right.
People are like, well, you don't have Judon this year.
Didn't have him last year.
Judon's been terrible, and you didn't have him last year.
Didn't really have him.
You had Gonzalez for four games last
year. Peppers missed games, but then Peppers has sucked when he's been out there. But you could say he was decent last year.
I'm just saying, I think the personnel is at least comparable and arguably better. A full year of Gonzalez should make the defense better.
Help. Right.
And they're worse. So Covington could say, I wouldn't focus on that. I wouldn't look at that. I'm just focused on this week. I want to get the W. Just repeating his talking points over and over and over again. The answer is you suck it. You and Mayo suck at coaching it.
And you haven't even played Josh Allen twice. Like every year on this stretch.
Haven't even played him yet.
No, you haven't played him zero. You haven't played him zero times, but you're going to play him twice, which I can't imagine is going to help your points per game stat.
I don't think that's going to help. That's a good point.
I don't think.
It's probably going to get a little worse.
You don't think it's true? I think it might go up.
So we asked this earlier in the day. Like, how do the Patriots even keep this game close? They are the second biggest underdog of the year this weekend in Buffalo in cold weather, and I am curious how Drake May plays in cold weather. I think that's an interesting discussion. I'd expect him to do well. He has a strong arm. He can run it. Like, I would expect him to do well, but I am curious to see it. It's not supposed to be overly windy. It's not supposed to be a ton of snow or precipitation or really any of that, but I want to start watching that with Drake May because you do have to play cold weather games in New England. But now it's Buffalo and you're two touchdown underdogs. You're the second biggest underdog of the year after the Giants last week against the Ravens. The Ravens covered, by the way. The other biggest line of the year was the Lions, 13.5 points against the Jags. They blew them out. So you're on pace for a blowout. How do you keep it close? Can you keep it close? And what does Monday look like, Keith, if you don't? Because Jerod Mayo is coaching for his job. Schefter left the door open. We talked about it earlier. You know, Breer says he can talk his way onto the hot seat or has talked his way onto the hot seat. Bedard thinks that Vrabel would take the job. Or Curran thinks Vrabel would be interested in taking the job here. Bedard has Josh McDaniels going with him. Like, the vultures are circling.
Yeah.
And that's before you lose by two or three touchdowns to Buffalo this weekend, and they hang 50 on your head.
So,
it's not a good time for Buffalo to be coming to town.
Going to Buffalo. Yeah, it's actually worse when you think about it. They're probably going to be 3-12 with two home games to go. One got flexed to Saturday with the Chargers, and then you end with the Bills. But just what's the home crowd going to look like those two games? That's where I think it's actually going to be uglier because I think that's more of an impact on Robert and Jonathan Kraft. When they look around, they're like, how come nobody's here? Or how come everybody left right away? Or
and I brought this up before, or the nightmare scenario.
Chargers and Bills fans.
I was going to say, like, the Giants fans flying planes over the stadium and saying, you know, Mara, fire everybody, clean this
trash
up.
Trash bags over the heads.
That sort of stuff.
That
sort of scene where now, even if it's not on the broadcast, even if Robert can get CBS to keep it off the television broadcast, it's everywhere on social media and fans know that's what it looks like. Yeah, that could be a real terrible recipe coming off the Bills game. You're right.
I just feel like it's already chalked up basically as a loss this weekend. And there are different degrees. Do you lose, you know, 50-0 or whatever? When the Lions blew doors on somebody, remember a few weeks ago? And you're like, is it going to be something like that? Or is it just, you know, you lost by two touchdowns, you didn't cover the spread, but it's another loss and you move on to the next one? Like, I guess there is a difference there. I think it'll be more glaring with the home game. You know, you ask the question, how do they keep it close? I'm not entirely sure that they can. Outside of like, sometimes weird things happen in division games, but like that's I'm not really giving you anything.
I don't think they will, but how do they even cover? I think you answered it earlier. May has to hang 30 on Buffalo. I don't know that
which
they
he hasn't done yet.
I don't know that they can do that, but like so that, that's first how
time,
you would.
First time ever all season they score 30 points would be against the Buffalo Bills. I guess the Bills have been in back-to-back shootouts. Well, now they've done it with
against good well, offenses though.
Teams that have, you know,
yeah.
weapons.
The
and
Rams
guns and,
the Rams and the beat the Patriots earlier and the Lions are an unstoppable offense. So yeah,
the Bills punted once last Sunday. They scored touchdowns just about every single time.
Over under half a punt on Sunday.
Under. I mean, they had that one a couple years ago, and the defense was a lot better.
They're probably not punting.
I don't think they're going to punt.
You made the point earlier today. The Bills have scored 30 or more in all but three games this year.
Yeah.
The Patriots have not scored 30 points since Bailey Zappe against the Browns in 2022.
Yeah, but nobody thought David would beat Goliath,
that's
Jones.
True. You got me there.
Struck him down.
I mean, the Patriots aren't holding this team below 30.
I can't imagine
they
that,
probably
no.
aren't holding them below 40 well, the way they've been scoring lately.
So I looked this up.
So that's why you got to get to 30 on Sunday.
Pats are 23rd in the league in points allowed per game. It's 24.1. So 24, you need to go below 24 to lower that number and like move up in that
yeah.
ranking. So you have two games against Josh Allen, then one against Herbert. You think they're going to get over 24 points?
No.
I would, no, no, no. I'm saying I would imagine
the Bills,
Bills
are going to get over 24.
Yeah, they're
going to
fly
yes,
past
yes.
24
yeah.
points.
So, no, look, the reason I don't think the Patriots are going to win the game, I don't necessarily even want them to win the game at this point. I subscribe to Wiggy's plan where now you're close enough to the end line where let's improve that draft positioning. Fine. But if it's, you know, 42-7, if
what?
It's 52-14.
Well, that's... That's those, certainly an extreme.
Those are in play against this team.
But I think when we're talking about Mayo's situation, it's one thing to lose 42-14, tip your cap to him, Josh Allen's the best player in the league, like we'll see him next week. Or, well, DeMarcus didn't really do a good job today. Alex Van Pelt didn't. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can lose by a lot, somehow have like an error-free post-game.
He might be running out of that, though. Like now, he's had so many errors. Now, if it's that bad on the field, that may seal his fate. But you're right. It can be bad on the field. Maybe he'd get the benefit of the doubt, and he still goes out and sticks his foot in his mouth after the game, and they're like, we can't do this anymore.
I mean, he did it in Arizona. This is sort of a dumb question, but how many beat reporters from the Patriots will be in Buffalo? I mean, Buffalo's not nearly as far as Arizona, so I would think a lot of them make the trip, but not all of them. Like, you don't have everybody there. But you'd think you'd get some... Especially if the game goes the way a lot of us think it's going to go, he should get some pretty pressing questions.
Well,
it's, does he throw anybody under the bus?
And he got,
does he throw the team under the bus?
He got pressed yesterday, and you know he wasn't exactly satisfactory in all his answers.
Yeah.
Van Pelt got the crap kicked out of him, it looked like, at the press conference today.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting questions from all angles about the Crafts and Jerod Mayo and their working relationship and how much they're running Drake May. So, yeah, I would imagine, again, they'll be circling on Sunday after that game. What does it mean for Jerod Mayo and his job security? 617-779-7937. You could jump in there. I want to get back to Josh Allen and where he fits into the quarterback hierarchy in the NFL. Is he the top quarterback, the best quarterback in the league? We know he's going to be MVP. Would you take him over guys like Patrick Mahomes? We can get into it. We should also get to this story out of New York from your girl, Diana Rossini.
Yeah. This, so again, I don't always want to take her word for it, but this does sound believable.
It's at least fun to talk about,
yeah.
If nothing else. Elliot Wolf, not so good at picking players. Maybe he should try using Madden, like Woody Johnson and the Jets are doing. We can get to that right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Celtics and Bruins return to action tonight as both teams look to make it three wins in a row. At 7:30, the Celtics host the Chicago Bulls. Kristaps Porzingis, Sam Hauser, and Xavier Tillman are all questionable for tonight's game. The Bruins are in Edmonton to close out their West Coast road trip. Puck drop for Bees Flames is at 9 o'clock. At Patriots practice yesterday, Kyle Duggar, Jermichael Hasty, and Marcus Jones did not participate. Nine other players were limited. Pats return to the practice field today at 12:45 as preparations continue for Sunday's matchup against the Bills in Buffalo. And Week 16 in the NFL begins with a Thursday night football matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. Kickoff is at 8:15, and you can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 7:30. Want to get on the nice list this holiday season? Help your friends, family, and businesses by helping them find money at findmassmoney.gov. It takes only 30 seconds, and if you haven't checked in a few months, go now and look. They're constantly updating the list. Findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, easy, and free. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Josh Allen. Why is something tells me this will not be a one-score game.
I don't think so. No. And even if it was, they'd probably come out on top because that's also how it's gone.
Yeah, it really does put the coach under a microscope. A
little bit.
When you talk about losing all these one-score games. We talked about Josh Allen earlier today. We can get back into it. We know he's the MVP of the league, or at least he's the heavy favorite to be the MVP with 3 weeks to go. Is he the best quarterback? Would you take him over every other quarterback in the NFL? We can get back into that here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We have an emergency Kiefer Madness coming up about 15 minutes from now.
Holiday themed,
and this was a recommendation, correct?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll do that coming up about 15 minutes from now. It's also Bruins Thursday, so Andrew Raycroft on the way, the Razor.
All right.
At 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for all of it. Meanwhile, we should get to this story.
Yeah, this is interesting.
It's good. Diana Rossini, your girl, had a report about the Jets. I'm reading here from Pro Football Talk. Report, colon, Woody Johnson, Jets owner, killed trade for Jerry Jeudy, who's been quite good.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Over, what do you think? Like a contract,
money,
draft compensation.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in, you know, the reports about him. He's got like an attitudinal issue, something
like
that. Oh,
sure. Could be that. Could be something like that. Maybe he's heard from another owner or GM or something.
Yeah.
Gave him a bad review.
No. He killed a trade for Jerry Jeudy over his Madden rating.
I'm sorry?
His Madden rating.
His Madden rating wasn't high enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Florio writes, dysfunctional teams indeed do dysfunctional things.
How does Woody Johnson know the Madden
ratings? Oh, well, great, great question.
Thank you.
We'll get into this.
He's a 77-year-old man.
Yeah.
See, again, God willing, at 77, I'll be playing video games still and knowing, you know, what the Madden ratings are. I can't imagine Woody Johnson is spending a ton of time playing Madden, but
nope.
I could be wrong.
Per the report, this wasn't the only time Woody Johnson cited Madden ratings in connection with football decisions. He also reportedly pushed back on signing guard John Simpson, who I think they did sign.
Okay.
Because of his awareness rating in Madden.
He had a bad awareness?
Yeah.
So not even the overall rating, but the specific category for awareness?
I think Jeudy is an overall rating.
Got it.
He's like, whoa, 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 John Simpson, his awareness rating in Madden, pretty low.
So obviously he's not very aware.
Florio adds, maybe even lower than Woody's.
Huh.
The Madden factor apparently comes from Woody's teenage sons.
Teenage?
Jack and Brick.
I thought I was an old dad. This dude's got teenage sons?
Yeah.
He's 77.
Yeah. I think the thinking around
dude,
like,
Brick
who
Johnson?
Cover the Jets is like Jack is like assistant GM, basically.
Oh.
I guess that's like the rumor around
Jack
Jet
Johnson,
circles.
The singer?
Jack Johnson, good call.
And Brick Johnson?
Brick Johnson.
Kind of an awesome name, actually.
Future in the porn industry, I would think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Brick Johnson?
Bricked up Johnson.
Brick Johnson. Seems like a guy who could be available in Madden. In fact, could be like one of the free agents in Madden.
That's not Jalen.
Magnum Dom.
Brick Johnson.
That's not Jalen Milroe's nickname, is it?
I think he had a different
wasn't
nickname.
Brick Milroe?
What?
We had a caller bring something like that.
Brick Johnson.
So Brick Milroe.
Sounds like a brick.
Oh, that's what it was. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what it was.
So Woody Johnson, billionaire, 77 years young, has two teenage sons.
Yeah, you want more on them?
Who tell him the Madden scores, and then he does decisions based off of what his sons say in Madden.
Ready? Yeah. By the way, the team has put out a statement on this. They do not deny any of it. When we're discussing things, you'll hear Woody cite something that Brick or Jack read online.
Love that.
That's being weighed equally against whatever opinion someone else in the department has, said an unnamed Jets executive to Diana Rossini at The Athletic.
So if you came up with like a funny meme.
Yeah.
Maybe Brick saw it.
Put it out there on social media.
And
Brick's like,
Woody,
Dad!
Yeah.
Dad?
Yeah.
Did you see John Simpson's awareness rating? Dad?
Can run and throw. He's built like a brick house.
I don't think we should sign him.
They did bring in Aaron Rodgers, and they've kept Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Much to the chagrin. I'm sure people are calling for Aaron Rodgers to be benched, and yet he's still out there.
So I don't know if this is better or worse. Do I want Elliott Wolf picking guys on their Madden ratings? Maybe. It'd be hard to do worse.
Yeah, it's a good guideline.
Do I want Jonathan?
I think the Madden guys do a pretty good job.
That's true. Do you want Jonathan lobbying Robert on this? Maybe. The Jets actually provided a statement to The Athletic acknowledging the involvement of the teens and defending it. Okay? So, yeah, this is not a denial.
Terp showing a video on Twitch of Woody Johnson wearing a ginormous necklace that is all like diamonds.
Does it say Woody?
It says Woody on it, yeah. His name is Woody Johnson.
Got it in Hard Knocks last year, I think it was.
Oh, didn't
you got to have
that.
A little bit of a sense of humor if your name is Woody Johnson.
Woody and Brick.
Yeah. Poor Jack's like, can I get like a cool name?
There's a theme going on there. Here's their statement to The Athletic. It's used as a reference point. It's not determinative. A Jets spokesperson said.
Madden, the good baseline.
It's really sad that an adult would use a misleading anecdote about teenagers to make their father look bad. It's ridiculous, quite honestly. The idea that this was used to influence the opinion of experienced executives. The sons have no roles in the organization. Well, that's doubtful. Mm-hmm. The owner's kids have no roles in the organization. What NFL team, what professional sports team works that way, first of all? So they have no role? Come on. It's completely ridiculous to suggest that any outside info is intended to replace the opinions of Woody Johnson and his staff.
By the way, Jerry Jeudy has an 83 Madden rating.
Yeah.
Now, it was 81 because they update these throughout the year. And he's had some good games with Cleveland. So an 83, I feel like, is nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, he's one of, what, five players with 1,000 yards receiving right now? Maybe even
he had 250
four?
In a game. So he had 250 in that one game going back to Denver.
Watson hasn't been playing. Jerry Jeudy been really
good.
There's five receivers with 1,000 yards. Jerry Judy's one of them.
I was not a Jerry Jeudy believer. Like, he had been linked to the Patriots the last couple of years. I was not in on that, not interested in that. He's been very good this year.
And Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, St. Brown, and Jeudy.
One more time?
Ja'Marr Chase.
Chase, probably a good Madden rating.
Justin Jefferson.
I'd imagine a good Madden rating.
CeeDee Lamb.
Probably really good.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Also awesome.
Jerry Jeudy.
Well, I see why Woody and Brick and Jack had a problem with this.
Yeah.
All those guys are probably 99s. He was only an 81.
No, that's true.
Even if there's no official role for now, Brick was handing out a game ball after a rare victory, writes Florio.
Wait, Brick was handing out game balls?
Yeah. Okay. Again, if I'm Jack, I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was the most awkward, cringeworthy, brutal experience, an unnamed player told The Athletic.
How'd you really feel about
it? So at least...
Are you not a fan of it?
At least you're not that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I mean, the owner's kid is going to be running the team here someday.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'll happen with the Jets, too. But at least he's not a teenager.
That is true.
Reading Reddit for, you know, takes on John Simpson and Jerry Jeudy and leveraging dad on
Jerry
that.
Jerry Jeudy would have...
Jonathan, I guess, is just an older version of that.
Jerry Jeudy would have the third best wide receiver Madden rating on the Jets. Devontae Adams is a 90 and Garrett Wilson's an 86.
Yeah, that's
a
fair
point. Jerry Jeudy, you do have Adams and Wilson.
Well, they didn't when they got Jeudy, though.
Oh, when they got Adams?
I'm sorry, yes.
When they were talking about it.
They acquired Adams in season.
Yeah, but that was an Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
He's had a monster game.
When he was also, I mean, I imagine Adams brought like 95.
No, he's 90. I'm telling you, he's a 90.
He's a 90. I'm sorry.
He's only a 90 speed.
Yeah. What's his awareness?
87. Not that aware.
No, it's well,
he's more aware than Alan Lazard is.
How aware? You got Malachi Corley in front of you? He's the guy who dropped the ball going into the end zone. Oh, that makes
63.
Sense. I bet that dropped after he crossed the end zone. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, something
arrow
to it.
Pointing down
yeah,
on
something
Malachi.
To it. Look, I mean, we're mocking these Madden rankings, no. But something to it. Malachi Corley, right. 63. That's how you dropped the ball before the end zone.
In the Jets roundtable of like geniuses, the guys in there all have better ideas than the Madden rating?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Although they've drafted pretty well, and then didn't they just fire their GM who drafted pretty well?
Yeah, Joe Douglas gone. Yeah. Text line 617-779-7937 says the Patriots are right there. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think it's this bad, but we shouldn't be like, as Patriots fans, you probably shouldn't be mocking this too much.
It's not that.
How many Patriots have at least an 83 rating?
All right, I'll get you
83.
I'll get you that answer
because that's what Jerry Jeudy was.
Yeah, well, right. Let me.
I mean, it can't be many.
Is there anybody above an 80?
Well, and they might have been in the offseason, but what are they now?
Oh, yeah, look at they're rolling in it. They got...
Gonzo has to be.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
what?
6, 7, 8, 9
maybe
guys that are an 80 or higher.
Give me the names. Maybe this is how...
Do you want to guess the players with an 80 or higher on the Patriots?
Gonzalez, for sure. Other than that, I don't even know. May? Is May on there? Who'd you say?
Onwenu?
Yes, Mike Onwenu's an 80.
That's a good guess, yep.
Ramondre
Stevenson's an 81.
Hang on.
Billy saying Keon White.
Keon White is not. He is a 79.
Hang on. Gonzo?
Gonzo's one.
Who did you say Stevenson?
Mike Onwenu's one. Ramondre Stevenson's one.
Okay, two of those are guys they re-signed. Hang on. They might sign guys based on their Madden rankings, actually, now that we're thinking about it.
Guys can be hurt, too.
Okay.
This is just Patriots roster overall.
Uh-huh.
So that's three. You guys want to take more guesses?
No. Give them to me.
Friend of the show?
Henry?
Hunter Henry's an 80.
Also re-signed. Hang on. They might legitimately sign guys based on Madden rankings. Keep going.
Jabril Peppers?
Yep.
Is an 88
signed?
Which is insane. He has the same rating as Gonzalez. Now we got to throw this whole thing out. Forget it.
Yep.
Jonathan Jones, friend of the afternoon show, 83.
Did they sign him this offseason?
Yeah, I don't know if it was this offseason. Yeah,
recently.
Might have been. Kyle Duggar.
Signed this offseason.
83. Jelani Tavai.
Signed this offseason.
80.
Is an 80?
Yeah, those are all your guys.
I think they re-signed.
They need to do an update.
I think they re-signed six or seven of those guys this offseason. They might sign guys based on that. Patriots actually might do the same exact thing.
Dude, you know what?
They're not. Jonathan's not a teenager. They might do the same exact thing.
I personally like the idea of Brick Johnson telling his dad about the Madden ratings. But what if I told you that Sione Takitaki has a higher Madden rating than Drake May? Are we now out on the process?
Maybe I'm back out.
He's got a 75.
This is a good question. A good point by Dark and Stormy Nights in the Twitch chat.
Uh-huh.
Low-key, Gonzo would probably be chatty about his Madden rating. It's not a bad call.
All right, we'll ask him about it.
Yeah, you're an 88. What do you think of that? You and Jabril Peppers. Who's better?
88.
As a player, not as a guy. As a player,
no.
Gonzo.
Yeah. Well, Rob Gorman with Gonzo there. Yeah. 93 speed for Gonzo.
Nice.
59 strength, I think, is where they get him.
Yep.
He's wiry.
That'll ding you.
89 awareness, though.
Good. Very aware.
Generally very
aware. He's batting the ball away from Marvin Harrison. Uh-huh. Probably went up last weekend.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
92 agility. You want to get him on like a tightrope?
Very agile.
That's not bad.
I mean, I guess we could mock the Jets for it. It is a funny story, but the Patriots might not be all that far
from
this.
They're like, we got to like this.
Good point about the text
line. This is good stuff.
You got to wonder if Bill's behind any of these leaks, too, now that we talk it out. Bill's got an agenda against the Jets. You got to wonder if he's behind any of this. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. Again, we have the Razor on a Bruins Thursday at 1 o'clock for some Bees talk and an emergency key for madness next.